You can come up. The Old Testament reading for today is from Genesis chapter 12. It should be a passage which is extremely familiar to this church, because this is the passage on which we hung our mission statement. And so it's the lectionary reading today. So let's listen to this story. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel reading today is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Behold, what manner of love is ours because of your grace and mercy, Lord. The kind of love which constantly serves and brings wisdom to your children. Here we are, Lord, gathered around your word, drawing upon your Holy Spirit now, so that we might know the truth and through it be set free. Speak to us, Lord. We're your children, and we love to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. It was 5 years ago that I went around a bend. It was a good one. I had preached my final sermon at the First Baptist Church of Pittman. I took a short 1 month kind of sabbatical time. And 5 years ago today, I was delivering my first sermon as the pastor of Seaview Baptist Church. It wasn't my first bend in the road. 10 years before that, I had left my beloved Calvary Baptist Church in Ocean View, and I thought, well, I'll never find a church as good as this. I was wrong. Every bend in the road brings a lot of anticipation and a fair amount of trepidation as well. I was used to those people. Cape May County was my home. I was only 47 when I left there, 57 when I arrived here. But as I read the story of Abraham, I read he was 75 when he started around another bend. Life is a journey. And you can think back through your life of the places where you've come to what seemed like, well, we're going to go any farther on this? And then the road turned. And it was a surprise. Most of the surprises that we get in life are good ones. But if we're fearful, we stay stuck. We don't go round the bend. We're stuck where we are. God says, now, I didn't make you for that. I made you to continue the journey, and life is a journey. The Bible tells us that Abram's brother, Haran, died in Ur of the Chaldees. That was their hometown. Now, if you look at the map that's on the wall there, you see the Ur of the Chaldees is down there, all the way to your right, at the beginning of that red line. And after Haran died, Terah, his father, must have been heartbroken. I mean, you don't bury a kid without feeling like this is very unnatural. It just breaks your heart. And some of you that have had to do that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So he packs up and he leaves. He has in mind that he's going to get to Canaan. If you follow the red line all the way down, you see Jerusalem. That's where he was headed. But when he gets up into the top of the Fertile Crescent there, he decides he's going to settle down for a little bit. There he established this town. And he probably founded the town because the name of the town is Haran, his dead son's name. They settled there for a while, but that wasn't the end of the road. Although for Terah, he did die there. But for Abram, that's where he became aware that the voice of Yahweh, that's the proper name for God that was revealed to Abram as well as to Moses, the voice of Yahweh is involved in this journey. And he calls Abram to go around the bend, to continue the journey. Now that must have been scary for him too. I mean, after all, he'd been with Dad. Now he and his wife Sarai were called by Yahweh to continue the journey. There's a whole lot more to Abram's journey story. I mean, he goes to Egypt, there's Sodom and Gomorrah, there's the birth of Ishmael, and then there's the birth of Isaac. There's that big test with Isaac. He gets a new name. Sarah gets a new name. Sarai gets a new name, and it becomes Sarah. She dies, and Abraham, which is now his new name, takes a new wife whose name is Keturah, and there's more children. I mean, it's kind of epic if you read the story. Lots of changes in life. Every change in life brings new opportunities. Every time we go around the bend, there are new opportunities. Think of some of the bends in your road. Maybe you change schools. I mean, how could life be better than where we are? Maybe you went through a divorce. It might feel like an end when you're going through it. But it's really just a bend. For many people that go through a divorce, the best is yet to come. And some of you can say, amen. Now, I'm not advocating divorce. God hates it. But when it happens, and it does happen, God is faithful to do a redeeming work in our lives. And again, many of you have had that experience. Some of us go around the bend of retirement. And we think, well, that's that. I'll never preach again. Right, Art?
I never said that.
No. But when you married Barbara, you said, I'm not a pastor anymore. You are not marrying a pastor. And yo-ho, you had another bend to go around.
Yes.
Yep. And there you were again at Union Chapel and then later at Ventnor Community Church. And who knows, Joe, what's going to happen next? Retirement is a bend. It's a real bender that you go around the bend. But it opens up all kinds of opportunities, right, Karen? I mean, look at all the places that Ned has gone. And some of them you have kind of gone with him, but I know why you're here. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about following how God wants us to go. Sometimes he calls us to new places, and sometimes the scarier thing is to stay put where you are. Or maybe the call might be, stay put. Some of us are not far enough yet around the bend. We're just kind of coming into it, and it kind of looks like all those yellow signs that warning, warning. But the story here is remain flexible. I have more for you. Each bend brings a new horizon. And as we go towards that horizon, there's hope. Abraham was given a wonderful hope. And that's what we read here. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I'm going to give you a new land. Now, land is a symbol of wealth. It's a symbol throughout the ages of wealth. Landowners, well, you've heard a wealthy landowner, the landed gentry, you know, the House of Lords in Great Britain and the United Kingdom. They're the people who own land. The House of Commons don't necessarily. See, that's where all that comes from. So he says to Abram, I'm going to give you land. And he says, wow, I'm going to have some good time coming. And he says, and your family is going to become a nation, a great nation. And your name? Well, your name is going to be known far and wide. And there are over 4,000 years of notoriety for Abram, who becomes Abraham. And he says, I'm going to protect you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. I'm constantly in your corner, Abram. Hope. You're not just going to go on a journey with all kinds of question marks. If there's any question mark, I'm in it. Don't worry about this. Good stuff is about to happen. God's blessing then becomes most apparent to Abram and to us when we're obedient and we stick to the journey. You know, he could have taken all of this and said, you know what, Yahweh? Ain't doing it. I like it here in Haran. After all, we know all about this place. Abram could have stayed there. He could have said, I'm not going to trust you through this one, Yahweh. God always calls us to take risks. Some to go to a new place, and for some, we risk to stay where we are. You know, it's not all cut and dried like you're constantly having to go new places. I remember years ago when I was at Ocean View, and I was going through a particularly hard time. It was about maybe 4 years into my pastorate there. And I went and talked with a friend who had been a district superintendent in the United Methodist Church. And he said, you know, Frank, if you hang in here with this, it's like getting another master's degree. He says, it's going to bless you. and you'll bless these people. Hang in here with it. And I did. And it was a blessing. A blessing that I could have very easily run away from. So sometimes it's stay. And this is, you know, something you have to really draw close to God to hear. Because sometimes it's go. But God's blessing comes when we stick with the journey and we're obedient. Once we've discerned it, we do what he asks. Now, with every blessing that comes, there's also responsibility. You shall be a blessing, he said to Abram. You're going to get all this good stuff, but with it, you will bless. All the families of the earth, got that one? All the families of the earth will be blessed through you, through your willingness to follow me. Blessing is pretty easy to take. You know, when God stuffs our pockets with 20s, you say, well, I can take that. But as he does, he says, now, you know, that's not all for you. I'm giving you that because I want you to be a blessing. Every time I bow my head to give thanks for food, I realize that I'm receiving something, but it's not all for me. As God strengthens me and fills me, it's meant to be shared. So whenever we get a gift, whenever we've been blessed, he says, don't hoard it. Share it. In that way, we are living into the very nature of God, especially as we see it in Jesus. One of the ways that we offer the blessing is in worship. And it's interesting, if you look at verses 7 and 8 of Genesis 12, wasn't in our lectionary reading for today, that we read these words, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the east and Ai Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." We offer back this blessing to the Lord in worship. And one of the ways that we worship is to come to a place like this. We sing beautiful music. We hear good preaching. We pray and offer up our hearts. You know, we bow before the Lord. That's good. But that's not all worship is. Worship is when I take some of those 20s out of my pocket and I give them to someone else who needs them. That's also an act of worship because it is obedience. I do what I do out of relationship with the Lord. Has God ever said to you, you know, lighten your wallet a little? I want you to share that. And when you do you feel God's blessing come back on you? That's the way it works. We're blessed, but we're blessed to be a blessing. And we've said as a church that we need to learn how to do this extravagantly, extravagant blessing. That's what we are and who we will be. A people who extravagantly, for all of us to extravagantly bless people with the love of God. It was the action of Jesus as the blessed Son of God to offer his will to the Father for whatever the Father wanted him to do. Now talk about going around a bend. Jesus went way around the bend. And so should we. That's the extravagance. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to spend a few years of my adult life doing this, and then I'm going home. Well, he did. But you know what? He wasn't going back to Nazareth or to Capernaum. He was in it for good. We have to be in it for good. And we are a mission station. That's why this church exists. Everything that we do here is mission. We were talking about that in our council, our advisory council, how we need to recognize that keeping the lights on here is part of the mission of the church. I mean, how would you like to have a meeting in the dark? Or how would you like to meet here with the temperature being 32 degrees inside as well as out? You say, I'm going home. It's part of our mission. Yahweh says, I'm blessing you, now be a blessing. There's work to do. There's children to reach for Christ. New generations that'll be reached through an Easter egg hunt or through daily vacation Bible school. I dare to say that Najla and Kimia are probably here today because of daily vacation Bible school. Reaching through Ilya. And he loved it. And here they, and so, you know, the son brings the sister and the mother along. And Reza would be here too if he weren't working. Pretty neat stuff. We need to reach new generations. People that have come from hither, thither, and yon get to come to this church. And they're drawn into this web of love relationship. That's our mission. That's the way we bless people. Parents need to be encouraged as they seek to raise their children in a very challenging world. That's one of the reasons we exist. To encourage you as parents to know that you're not alone in this. There are hungry people to feed. That's why we do peanut butter and jelly. That's why we fill the bin out there in the social hall, in the fellowship hall that gets taken to the ecumenical food pantry down at the Lutheran church. There are disheartened people to come alongside of. People who are just heavy of heart because something's happened in their lives that's taken all the stuffing out of them. And God says, I want you, Seaview, I want my church to be a blessing, to put some stuffing back in. So how do we stay on this road? It can really get to be a tiresome journey at times, right, Andy? Don't you get tired? Don't you sometimes, Karen, get a little tired? What about you, Hazel? Do you ever get tired? Of course you do. We all get tired. How do we stay on the road? We develop a listening heart. Carefully develop a listening heart so we can discern God's call to us. What does He want from us? It might be stay right where you are. But most likely, even if you don't move away, you still get to go around a bend. Because as we go around the bend, God takes us into new places. Sometimes right where we are. How could Kathy and I have left our home and journeyed to Pittman and then again here? How could we have done that? I mean, do you just do that? I mean, some people are just looking for a change. We weren't looking for a change. We were looking to be faithful. And every time we moved, there were tears. But that's okay. Good God, because God is in it. But as I think about people who've had to go around a bend, my mind and my heart come back to Jesus. He had to go around a really big bend. He had to leave heaven, that spiritual world where all is well. And He came to earth where all is not well. Because here in this earth, where all is not well, there are people who do not like righteousness. And Jesus and unrighteousness, righteousness and unrighteousness came face to face. And the unrighteousness says, you better get out of here. I'm going to get you. But Jesus stood fast. And He went around that final bend as they nailed Him to a cross. Now that's a big bend. But He did it. He said, Father, if there's another way, let's bring that one on. But But he heard the voice of the Father even as he prayed. And obviously the Father said, no, son, this is the way it has to be. And Jesus said, well then, not what I want to do, but what you want, Father. I'll do it. I'll go around this bend. I'll trust you. And what happened? He gets blessed. It leads not only to a cross and a burial, but that's the Easter story. It leads to an empty tomb, which brings blessing for the whole world. See, Jesus lives out our mission statement because it's not ours. It's his. That's what this is about. But if we're going to do it, we have to listen well. We have to have a heart that knows how to listen. Before one of the previous Winter Olympics, there was a program that aired that featured blind skiers. Can you think about that for a minute? Blind skiers. And they were being trained for slalom skiing. You know, it's not just down the hill. It's, you know, you got to go around all these, like, how in the world? It might seem impossible. And of course, it was a real exercise of faith. Even for a sighted person, it's an exercise of faith, if you've ever been on skis. Each blind skier was paired with a sighted one. And they trained on the flats as they learned how to make left turns and right turns, with the sighted skier calling out to the blind skier. Once they mastered that, then they went up to the top of the hill and they started to make their way down. You can imagine they didn't make every flag, but they worked at it. As the sighted skier skied right alongside their blind partners, they would shout, left, right, left. And they had to stick close. It demanded complete obedience and trust, or it would have been a disaster. That's us. We need to get close enough and get our ears developed well enough so that we can hear too. Sometimes we're a lot like those blind skiers. We're dependent upon the one who sees everything to signal our next move. It was Abram's task to stay close, to trust Yahweh. It was also the joyful task of Jesus. And look what happened out of all of that. And it's our task too. So let's get close. There's a bend in the road. Whether we actually leave or stay, you can bet there'll be some more bends. But God is with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. But through all the maneuverings of life, you see down the road and you can see what's good. Give us faith, Lord. Help us to trust you through each bend. As we've heard your voice, we want to be faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we see it so clearly in Jesus. So we are willing, Lord. In our best hour, we're willing. In our worst hour, Lord, make us willing to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.